New Orleans. Drink the Kool-Aid, man. Keep your fire lit. 94.
It was spectacular.
Number 7.
It was electric. That line.
If I do my job well today,
we'll all remember where we were. Hovering just off the surface.
Run over the goal line, through the end zone, and up the tunnel. Number 9.
A lot of people looked up to this man. Life just cannot get any better than this moment. Live it.
While we're here, and they're gonna run across the Jumbotron, let's make it a place where we break a sweat, where we believe, where we enjoy the process of succeeding in the places and ways that we are fashioned to, where we don't have to look over our shoulder because we're too busy doing what we're good at, traveling towards immortal finish lines. We write our own book, overcoming our fears. We make friends with ourselves. And that is the place that I'm talking about.
Hey, Andrew, you wanted a new open. I got you a new open for the playoffs. That was to fire the people up. McConaughey.
That was nice of Matthew McConaughey, kind of given his busy schedule, giving us time
to do it. To do it custom for us. That's what the donations get from the people. No,
that he was in New Orleans for the Texas game.
That's from Joseph Estrada, his hype video. I borrowed it. I stole it. But it fired up the people. Kevin, I thought it ended on a beautiful Matthew McConaughey note of being friends with ourselves. What's your reaction to the new playoff open?
This thing should have ended with him, in a mud hut, nude, playing the bongos, saying, "All right, all right, all right." Like that. I mean, shit. I'm surprised they didn't work in "We Are Marshall," for Christ's sake. I mean, and they're playing the Interstellar music. Come on, man.
It's just so
good, Lord.
Hey, man, I could have played the whole 5-minute open that Joseph Estrada made. That's on. You can find it on YouTube, or I'll link to it in the. You can find it on the our page. It's fantastic. It got me fired up. Here's the thing, though. I got fired up because Saints fans are losing their fucking minds. You would think the Saints are like 8-8. And they are people were panicked over Dallas. Now they're panicked over the Eagles. Like, I just want to fire the people up. We need to not give in to our Saints' fears. We need to be excited about it, Andrew. They're fucking 13-3. Like, people are scared out of their fucking minds on Twitter. Maybe it's me. Maybe I need to get off of Twitter. But it's just insane.
At this point, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. Like, it becomes the Eagles, a team they beat 48-7. I realize things have changed, but like at this point, I feel like any opponent the Saints would have, Saints Twitter would just immediately focus on whatever they do well, whatever good players they have, and impending doom is embraced.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin, I know you watch all the games, you break down all the film. Did you have a preference of who you wanted the Saints to face?
Initially, no. I saw just concern across the board. Not like worry, but just like, like nobody stands out as a team that I am dying to get a hold of in the divisional round. Yesterday just went absolute hog wild over the Cowboys, and a lot of guys, including y'all, gave me a lot of good reasons to be enthused about facing the Cowboys again. So I said, screw it. I'd be down with that. And then, of course, the Eagles had to go ahead and win. So, here comes Philly.
I mean, that was a brutal loss. Not that we give a shit about the Bears, but to lose on the double doink on the field goal, like, that shit's Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, me and my whole family were watching it. We were all watching it together. And, he made the first one before they called the timeout, right down the middle. And, of course, the one that counted, he bointed off the upright. So we all felt, everybody in my house felt bad.
Did you see after he made the kick, though, that, like, he just, like, after he saw there was a timeout called, he just immediately turned around and he just looked like he was going to shit his pants.
I did not see that.
I mean, you just see it in his face. It was just like, man, this guy is tight.
Yeah, he did. He like a lot of the kickers will like kick it and then go back. I noticed. I was like, that dude, he's frazzled.
Yeah,
like, that
exactly. Like most kickers, you'll see him like do ghost swings. You'll see him just like, you know, take a deep breath and just kind of put their head down and stay focused. This guy was visibly worked up, and I'm surprised he didn't miss it by more.
Yeah, I mean, getting to the negativity on Saints Twitter, which I was fighting with people.
Hold on. Don't we need to do the open?
We need to remind people that the show is sponsored by JLD Hot Sauce
and Knives.
.com. They have the best hot sauce. They're award-winning hot sauce. Kevin is going to do a live on-air test right now, but they have. Andrew, you say the name because I always butcher it.
Buchalokia.
Buchalokia, extra hot, my personal favorite. Thai flavors. They also have Reaper Madness Special Reserve made with the Reaper Pepper from Carolina. And for the Brave, you can get the Death Shot. It has the extract of 10 Reaper chilies in each 1 ounce bottle. JLD also has the highest quality handmade knives you'll find anywhere, including ones for hunting, fishing, and cooking. Go to jldsharpsauce.com. Use the code SAINTS and get 10% off your order today. That's jldsharpsauce.com. All right, Kevin.
Kevin, which one do you have? You have the.
Okay, so I. Yeah. So in the. Wait, for starters, I'm impressed that they gave us a discount code for the listeners. I mean, that's a sign that you're making it when you're a podcast. That the sponsor gives you a discount code for the people.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so
we've made it.
So the box, the delivery came a while ago, and I've literally just had it sitting in my living room. The box. I opened it right before we started recording. There is a note inside. It says greet, and I'm actually going to film this. Yeah. Oh shit! It says cannot record while another. Oh damn it! I was going to video record this whole thing. Says, greetings, Kevin. Ralph said you like it spicy, so here you go. Enjoy. Who dat? Sincerely, Head Chili. The bottle that is inside was Carolina Reaper Special Reserve.
Oh, boy.
I'm assuming this is very hot.
Yeah, I think that's like
the
hottest.
Do you have milk or water nearby, Kevin?
Should I get milk or water?
I don't know. But just make
I
sure
think
you get
water makes it worse, doesn't it?
Make sure you milk get a good drop of it on. You know, don't be a wuss.
All right, hang on a second. Let me get. I'm dumping out the glass of water. I'm getting milk.
He needs to get a teaspoon.
No, I am. I've got a teaspoon. I'm just. I got. Oh, okay.
Right. You're going straight teaspoon, right?
Yes.
No cracker or anything.
No.
Okay.
It's just
Ralph, this might be all we get of Kevin on this show.
it might be.
What?
He might get right in like 20 minutes to make his pick at the end.
All right, hang on. I'm going to take a shit. Ooh, man, that's got a pungent odor.
All right, wait, hold on. Have you tasted it yet or no?
Oh, I took a photo of the spoon, and it's thin. I'm putting it in right now. Hang on.
Oh, boy.
All right, just went down.
Today, the worst day of your life? Yeah.
How we doing?
Got a kick. I have not gone to the milk yet.
Oh, man.
That groan sounded intense.
Yeah. I can definitely feel my pores opening in my face.
Yeah, it's going to last a while.
It's like, it's one of those things where it's not, I'm not getting...
You're handling it better than I thought, Kevin.
Yeah.
Like it stays with you, but it's not. I thought this was gonna be like you're gonna get stabbed to death. This isn't like getting stabbed to death. This is like getting it's like getting choked out by a really weak person. And I mean that, I mean that in terms of like absolute fire hot. Like I feel it on my lips and I do feel it on my tongue in the back of my throat. I thought I, you know, I literally had like a, I was worried I was going to have a cartoon reaction to this. It's so, believe me, something tells me I'm going to have a big trip to the bathroom later.
Clean out the pipes.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, whew, like,
I got a deep breath out of his ass.
Deep breath is not recommended.
All right, so ask Kevin a Saints-related question now.
Yeah.
Kevin, are you worried about the offensive line?
is Armstead going to be back?
We don't know.
Maybe. It's Peck. It's questionable.
Oh.
I would say there's an 83% chance he will start the game and not finish it.
Kind of like okay. Kevin on this podcast.
There's an 83% chance I blow my asshole out later. Because so I throw another plug in here. The guy also sent me ghost pepper sea salt.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, that stuff's good.
So I appreciate the sauce.
I want to try that. I didn't get any of the salt.
So, Kevin. Now that you've tasted this, would you put this on pizza or pasta or whatever? Like, does it taste good? Do you like it?
I would say I think I actually would be tempted. Hang on a second. Nose is running a little bit. I would be tempted to use this in a marinade on my steak. I've done that where I'll take like salt, garlic salt and some pepper and some other things and throw maybe a little bit of whiskey in there and let it sit for like 6 hours and then throw it on the grill. I might throw this in there too with it, give it like some extra, like extreme kick. This should be good.
Maybe just a few drops, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see using that teaspoon. A whole teaspoon in a marinade.
Yeah, I mean, I was really hoping that Kevin would just collapse into a puddle and that it would maybe be the greatest 45 seconds of the show. So I'm kind of disappointed that Kevin held it together.
Kevin,
but that doesn't
held
mean the product isn't
it together.
It's great. I eat it on my eggs almost every day.
Final Reaper?
No.
The regular, the Thai flavor.
Soft.
He is not making it through. He's like Armstead, Andrew. He's not making it through four quarters.
Yeah.
Listen, you're going to get three strong quarters out of me. You may have to sit me the fourth, but you're getting three strong ones.
You gotta build up the lead.
I still haven't drank the milk.
Yeah, maybe if we can build up a good lead, we can sit him when, you know, the podcast doesn't matter anymore.
I tell you what, I would be worried about sitting down right now.
Is, you know,
I'm
you know, before we did Kevin sampling our sponsor on air, Andrew, I was talking about Saints Twitter just losing their fucking mind. I blocked like 6-7 people last night. I blocked Brian, a friend of the show. I just had had enough. I was just blocking people left and right. I was just fed up with it. I can't believe somehow I've turned. I used to be Ralph St. Doom of Saints Twitter, and now I'm the guy cheerleading, yeah, believing in the 13-3 team. People act like I'm crazy or something. But I don't remember 2009 being like this the first playoff game where even though the Saints lost three in a row.
I think you're wrong, man. I think you're wrong. Like, I think you're just misremembering because, like, Twitter wasn't really huge in 2009. And I think fans were, like, terrified. They were terrified of Kurt Warner, who was a Super Bowl winner. and they were terrified of the Cardinals. And I remember, especially after Tim Hightower went 80 yards on the first play, and it was 7-0. I mean, Saints fans were melting down on Twitter. They were like, oh, my God, here we go. It's over. You know, it's just like it was dark, man.
Do either of you remember it like that? I wasn't on Twitter, so I can't say that. My internet reaction was just reading stuff and getting emails and interaction with people. I didn't remember it being that negative. But Dave, Kevin, do you remember it that way? Am I completely wrong?
No, I don't. I remember it being a pretty happy time. I don't remember being too nervous about it or too skeptical.
Going into the game, you mean?
Yeah.
I remember people really worried about the secondary because they had played. Remember, they had the Monday night game where they had Chris McAllister and they brought back Mike McKenzie, and like it was fun. But at the end, it was like, oh Lord, are we really gonna have to play all these dudes in the secondary? I remember that, but I just don't remember the angst. But
well, you know, you might be right though, Ralph, because I think there was belief that Breeze was so good and that offense was so good. And, you know, Reggie Bush, I mean, there was a lot of belief in him. And I just think, like, people thought, like, we can score at will. No one can stop us. And so I think it was, like, no matter who the opponent is, no matter what the situation, like, if the Saints need to go get a touchdown, they'll do it. This offense doesn't maybe instill the same confidence.
People still don't believe in the Saints defense. I was arguing with Saints fans on Twitter today about the run defense, and it was like arguing with someone that had never watched a fucking game. They're like, "Well, they're only good on run defense because when teams get behind, I don't know this. I don't know if you know this, but when teams get behind, they stop running the ball." I'm like, "Dude, they're number one in yards per rush allowed." Like, so like
on
I
first
feel
down.
Like, yeah, I feel like yeah. the Saints. People don't really believe in the defense, and when they see the offense struggle even a little, that's what the panic is. Kevin, can you comment on this, or is your whole face numb?
No. I'm still hanging on. I checked my Twitter. I didn't join Twitter until July of 2011, so I couldn't tell you the mood on social media. I was a little worried in the sense that I thought it was going to be like a big back and forth, kind of game.
Yeah.
Like that's about it. I mean, again, because you know Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald, and then they had Tim Hightower, and they had additional weapons, and I just thought, man, I don't know. It was just the general worry of still feeling partially snake bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me and the reaction I had is I watched Arizona give up 45 points, and I was like, there is no fucking way a team that just gave up 45 points at home is going to come into the Superdome and stop the Saints. Like, if the Saints might need to score 50, but if they need to score 50, they're going to score 50.
All right. So let's simplify this, okay? There were two options going into that kick. Either the kicker makes it and we're playing the Cowboys, or he misses it and we're playing the Eagles. Those were the two scenarios. That's it. So forget Seattle, forget the Vikings or whatever else like that. At that point, like those, we were facing one of those two teams. So, I mean, I will grant you guys, I will grant the panicking fan base that there's eight teams left. That's it. 8 out of 32. Everything is hard at this point. Everyone is good. Everyone has things that can expose your weaknesses and they can hurt you in certain ways. If you play the Cowboys, it's their defense. If you play the Rams, very explosive on offense. You know, with Philadelphia right now, they got the Foles magic thing going. But you know what? The Foles magic thing was 143-yard field goal away from being eliminated in the playoffs. So would you rather play let's be honest about what the Eagles are right now. They cannot run the football. That's not in the cards for them. The Saints are the number one, or maybe they dropped to number two, but they're one of the best run defenses in the league.
They're the Eagles, best run defense left playing.
Yes, and the Eagles cannot run. We saw it in this game. They can't do it. So, and we saw it when the first time they played the Saints. They can't run the ball. So Foles is going to be throwing pretty much every play. And when you throw every play, pass rushers just get after you relentlessly. And that's going to mean a lot of shots to Nick's sore ribs. And yes, he's got dangerous receivers. Yes, he's developed more chemistry with them. Dallas Goedert at tight end, Zach Ertz, he's starting to get them more involved. Golden Tate seems more comfortable in this offense, so they're going to hit some plays. He threw two interceptions today, and they were minus two in turnovers, and they were up 10-6. If he throws two picks against the Saints in New Orleans, they're not going to be up 10-6 if they're down negative two in the turnover ratio. I can promise you that.
Home teams that win the turnover battle in the playoffs 2-0 are going into today, we're 58-6. That's a 90% winning clip, and the Bears couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Just stat nerds.
So you say that, and I mean, at the end of the day, for me, I look at all that stuff. I look at their secondary, still real shaky. Breeze is going to be able to move the ball.
No.
They're going to be able to put up yards.
You skipped over their second. The Eagles' secondary is fucking horrific. I want you to tell the people what you texted me during the game when the Bears went ahead 15-10. About Philadelphia secondary. You said Devontae Harris
I said Devontae Harris would be starting for the secondary. I did say that.
That secondary, it was bad. And Dave, I felt like Trubisky was like, he had 300 yards, but I felt like he missed like about four throws that like Breeze would have hit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but he was hitting some throws late in the game when he needed to. There were some key late game big catches at the end there.
But hold on. So here's my question. Here's my question to you guys. To the panicking Saints fans out there, would you rather a team come into the Superdome that actually beat us, that has one of the best defenses in the league, shut our offense down? Granted, it was in Dallas.
I kind of do, and I'll tell you why. I mean, I just think that, football is such a mental game. I mean, you have to be mentally prepared. As much as you study film and as much as you practice and as talented as you are, a lot of times on any given Sunday or Saturday or whatever, you know, it's the team that just really digs deep and wants it more, that will win, especially late, you know, playoffs when you got close games. And I just, you know, I think what I'm saying is probably what most Saints fans are thinking, you know, most of these Saints fans that you're referring to as the panicking Saints fans. And it's just that, you know, we have the option of playing a team that we lost to, being the Cowboys, which I think people were assuming that Saints players would be hungrier for a game like that to get their revenge.
There's no added motivation.
They beat handily earlier in the season, and so I think people are worried, they're going to take it easy. They're going to think that they can just walk in here and take care of these Eagles again, even though it's a totally different team with a totally different quarterback. So I think that's the mindset. I think that's what has people worried. It's like now instead of playing against a team that Saints players were really going to get up for because they lost to them and they wanted revenge. And now they were getting their second chance and they're coming back to our house now compared to playing an Eagles team where it's like, yeah, we took care of them. We beat them. What was it? 45-7, whatever it was.
Yeah.
We'll handle this. And then all of a sudden it's fourth quarter and the Saints are down by 7 points. And we're like, what the hell happened here? I think that's what these quote-unquote panicking Saints fans are.
I mean, at the end of the day, if the Saints play well, they can't lose.
Kevin, how are the bowels holding up?
Doing all right. Deep breathing exercises and whatnot.
Kevin, I know you and me have a deep... I had a deep hatred and fear of Dallas just because... Living in Texas, I am surrounded by Texans fans, but just as many Cowboy fans. So playing the Cowboys and losing to the Cowboys just scared the shit out of me.
That could
even though
I'm
really confident, like that was a scenario I didn't like. I would, I much prefer this scenario of Eagles to Dallas, even though I wasn't really. I'm confident the Saints can win. I just like if the Saints lose to the Eagles, yeah, it's terrible, but I don't have to hear it at work, you know. So I'm very happy that they play the Eagles. What is your thoughts about who you wanted them to play this coming Sunday?
I mean, again, I was swayed into being very happy about Dallas. Like I suddenly kind of had got turned around on Dallas. So the fact that it's not Dallas is like a slight bummer, but I still feel confident. Like I feel very confident about the Eagles coming into town because it's like, yeah, it's a different team. And you know, the whole big dick Nick Foles and his magical arm and all that kind of stuff. Like Juge said, the dude needed a double doink in order to like make it out of the wild card round.
Oh, and let's not forget, Nick Foles, the one time he's lost in the playoffs is to the Saints. And the only, you know, so we got that going for us. Nick Foles is unbeatable. The Saints did beat his ass in the playoffs in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia.
But talking about Nick Foles and going back to what I was saying before and trying to explain why Saints fans, I think, are worried about the Eagles. You know, the other thing is that, I mean, obviously Saints fans, I think, certainly earlier in the season, I think we kind of all felt like the way some of these games were going and how we were winning some of these games, you know, the Baltimore game or whatever, that we kind of felt like it was destiny, you know, and that the Saints, you know, this was just our year because we were getting all the right breaks. And I think what people are worried about with the Eagles is the Eagles are kind of, they've kind of, they're kind of writing their own little destiny script thing. You know, Foles. There were a lot of weird coincidences, and obviously Nick Foles comes in, he starts winning, turns the team around. Now he's winning in the playoffs again, and now the Eagles seem to have that whole, you know, oh my gosh, this is going to happen again, and this is how it's going to happen again. This is too crazy. This is destiny. And I mean, this whole destiny thing, it's a zero-sum game. You know, there's only one team has the ultimate final end destiny of winning the Super Bowl.
This whole narrative is going to come to a screeching halt and crash down.
Here's an interesting thing that you brought up, Andrew, when you were describing the Eagles, that they can't run the ball and they didn't even really try to run the ball that much against the Bears, although they did run Sproles two times down at the goal line, which was weird as fuck. The game, I was screaming at Peterson, what are you doing? But here's my question. Pittsburgh against the Saints, they came into the Superdome and they were like, fuck the run. They went five wides, and it worked against the Saints. Do you think Philadelphia will attempt something similar, especially now that their offensive line, they had most of their guys when they played the Saints. I had forgotten about that, but they're healthy. They're playing better. Do you think Philadelphia is going to do that, where they're just going to be like, you know what? Fuck it. We're just going to put Nick Foles in the shotgun, and we're going to chuck it 50 times.
What do you mean it worked against the Saints? Who won that game?
Yeah, but Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh.
No.
He means they had success offensively. But I agree with where you're going.
It wasn't enough success. So no, I'm not worried about that.
I mean,
I agree with Dave. I think what Dave's getting at, which I agree with, is I think Nick Foles will. I think they will employ that, and I think they will have some success. I think they will score some points on the Saints. But I'm pretty confident that the Saints are going to put up 31, 34 points in this game. And I just don't think the Eagles will score that many. So it's kind of getting back to what Dave said, like, yeah, they'll have some success. But if they go five wide and they chuck it every play, like it will work some. But I just don't think I don't really think this defense can consistently stop the Saints.
I felt like Chicago, like, they had, I mean, the thing is, you know, with us where we were worried about the Saints receiver issues, when, you know, with guys getting hurt and they don't have anybody besides Thomas. But now I look at it, I'm like, that's Philadelphia's secondary so bad. Like, with Ginn back, the Saints will have plenty enough to score on them.
Now the X factor is there is the X factor elephant in the room, which is the health of the offensive line, which we know nothing about at this point.
Well, that's a good point. Like, how many guys? And Andrew, I want you to answer, but I want Kevin and Andrew to answer. Kevin and Dave to answer as well. How many guys would be not playing that you would be worried that problems would happen? Like, how many guys can they not have where things go bad?
Who you want to go first? Me?
Kevin, go first.
Shit. I finally had the milk more as a precautionary measure. Like just to coat my stomach. Mouthwise,
maybe you should have some Pepto-Bismol.
No, well, I don't have any. Mouth-wise, doing okay. Lips-wise, doing okay. There's a very nice aftertaste. So kudos to the sauce man for
the head chili.
For that. Yeah, kudos to head chili on that one. I don't know. Look, if Ted Ginn's there, if Armstead's there, I'll be in a very good mood. If those two aren't there, I'll be worried.
Well, Ginn's gonna play. I feel
Ginn's
good.
Playing.
That Ginn, yeah, he's playing. You know, Armstead. If I had to put my money, you know, I said this earlier, but I think he'll play. I don't think he'll finish. I think it'll be like Pittsburgh. Yeah. I think he's hurt. He's too hurt. And well, we know that he tries to play hurt, so he's going to give it a go as long as he can. And
I feel like we'll see if he can last the same, quarters. Wasn't that the same situation like back in 2013 when they played the Eagles? Wasn't he like – oh, no. Was Charles Brown playing?
No, I don't think so.
Not in the playoffs.
No. They had shelved Charles Brown, they put Armstead in for the last month.
Oh yeah, that's what it was. And did Armstead play in that playoff game?
Yeah, I think he held up pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
Ralph, to answer your question, I would say one is the magic number. I would say you can't miss more than one offensive lineman. I mean, you need Unger, you need Warford, you need Ramchek, and you need Pete. And then if you lose Armstead, then you bring in Bushrod. What's his face? Yeah, Bushrod.
Bushrod's questionable, I would say, at this point.
Well, yeah. Then that's an issue.
Yeah. I think they can miss two guys and still have a chance to put up points. I mean, obviously
– And then I guess in that situation, you kick Pete out to left tackle, huh?
Right, right. So I think they can lose two guys and – Now this is including Bushrod and Armstead, who, you know, neither of which may play. I just don't know. I don't know what's wrong with Pete. I mean, he messed up his wrist, so I'm worried about him too. But I think if they're missing Bushrod, Armstead, and Pete, you know, I think starting the game, I think Armstead will give it a go. So I don't think they'll be missing all three to start. But if at any point during the game they're down three guys, let's say Pete can't go, Bushrod and Armstead try and they just can't do it, then I think we start to get into territory where this team is toast.
Here's the thing. I think we're going to know about the offensive line pretty early on, because the thing is, since there's so few NFL games, all the reporters of the national shows, the Schefters, the Mortensons, they all want the information for the games, and there's only four of them, and the Saints, what they're going to do on the offensive line is going to be one of the – it's not just a huge story for us, right? You know, like when the Saints are playing whoever in week 12, like we give a shit about a corner and a tackle and whoever. But like the country doesn't, right? This week, the Saints are one of the only four games. So I think we're going to know a lot about the offensive line more than we would know in like a regular season game, because the national media is going to be getting that information. I know the Saints like to put it in lockdown, but even the Saints aren't going to be able to. I think we're going to know much more about the offensive line before Sunday than we would normally.
Ralph, that was really insightful and really well thought out.
Every now and then, right? Yeah. Are you mocking me?
No, I'm not. I agree. I think it's a good point. I think, you know, some of these networks will actually pay you money to leak information, you know? So, no, those guys are good at their job. And if they're focused, I mean, there's still like some news cycles, like coaching hires and other stuff. So I wouldn't say they're solely focused on four teams, but, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, if Sean Payton's like, I know this is going to get out, and because he's feeling the pressure of all the media walls closing in on him, then he might throw a bone at his boy Ed Werder and be like, all right, well, this is going to come out soon anyway. So here, I'm just going to give it to you, Ed. I'll throw you a bone. I think it's a good call.
Yeah, and I just think, like, you know, coaching hires would be the lead on, like, the NFL show that ESPN does daily. But, like, besides that, like, the injury reports are going to be the lead on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? So I just think that's how it's going to go. We got some great questions today. This is from Dylan. Kevin, who will you be pulling for in the AFC as far as a potential Super Bowl matchup for the Saints? Kevin?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, are you there? Who are you pulling
for? Repeat the question.
Repeat your question.
Yeah,
now.
Repeat the question.
Who are you pulling for in the AFC for a possible matchup for the Saints?
In the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's an easy one.
Shit.
He doesn't even know what teams are in the AFC playing.
The Raiders,
Cardinals,
Jets.
Yeah, no, it's the Chiefs, the Pats, the Chargers, and
the Colts. Oh, and by the way, Jim Irsay was lit out of his fucking mind in that locker room yesterday for post game for the Colts. He was high on life and prescription drugs. I'm just gonna say it,
lit AF.
I had to think about it. My gut reaction, and after thinking about it, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say the Chiefs.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Because look, Mahomes is likely winning the MVP. So nothing. I think Saints fans, Saints Twitter in particular, would forever lord that over the Chiefs if, you know, Mahomes wins the MVP, but then in the Super Bowl, Breeze and the Saints beat them.
True.
So,
well, I talked earlier about destiny. I talked about the Eagles potentially having destiny to win the Super Bowl. I talked about the Saints potentially having destiny, you know, to win the Super Bowl. If you know, to take that one step further, I think if the Saints really are going to go to the Super Bowl, I think we're going to see the Colts. I think we're going to see a Saints-Colts rematch. I think the Colts.
That would be crazy.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. That's we got a little extra juju on the Eagles because we've got that. Oh, I guess the Eagles have the Patriots, so we could see an Eagles Patriots rematch too.
Saints Chargers would be fun too.
So yeah, my top two would be Saints Chargers, just because Breeze versus Rivers and his old team and all that. I just think that'd be pretty cool from a story perspective. And the other one for me is Patriots, just because then, like, you start talking about Breeze's legacy, and he's been to two Super Bowls, and if he beats Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, though, that's his legacy. And then I think you start reasonably asking the question, is he the greatest of all time? Certainly,
I like that one.
That puts him ahead of Favre, unquestionably, and it puts him ahead of Rodgers, unquestionably. I think he would vault ahead of those two. And I think he vaults ahead of Peyton Manning because he's starting to break Peyton's records. He beat him head to head, and they would both have two Super Bowls. So, like, then I just think if he wins a second one, I think it does a lot of that for him anyway. But if he beats Brady head to head, I just think it has more meaning.
And I'm going to tell you this too, as a football matchup, the Patriots defense is kind of slow and terrible in spots. I think the Saints would light them up. I don't know how the Saints defense would do against New England, but man, they would. I think they would light up the New England offense pretty good. And you would also have the potential for the greatest Saints moment ever. They could play the Patriots and be 28-3 in Atlanta.
Oh my God!
And we could all tweet at the same time. Hey Atlanta, we're giving you an in-person TED talk on how to not blow a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. Like, it would be the greatest moment in Saints history. It might be the greatest moment in my life besides meeting and marrying my wife and the birth of my child. Like, it would, that would probably be third. Maybe second.
I don't know. That would probably be first.
No, man. The Patriots are vulnerable. They lost to the Jags, the Lions. You know, they lost to the Steelers.
They got housed by the Tennessee. They got housed by somebody else. They stunk away from home this year.
Yeah.
All right. This is a great question, Dave. This is from Adrian. Who would win, the 2018 Saints or any given junior varsity football team? Asking for Saints Twitter.
I mean, I'm not really going to answer that question.
Kevin, what's the right uniform combination for the Saints to wear Sunday?
Oh, I would either say all black or all white. I'll go all black.
This is a good question, Dave. Over under 2.5 Taysom Hill touchdowns the rest of the playoffs.
Oof.
Him actually scoring the touchdown, under. Him being involved in some way, either passing or running, I would say.
Or handing it off, you mean?
Yeah, maybe that too. I'll say over.
Okay, Andrew, this is a good question for you because you are good at X's and O's and whatnot. This is from Dylan. Most preferred outcome for the Rams and Cowboys? Besides 4 overtime and injuries.
Yeah, lots of injuries. You know, the Saints have played the Rams and they've beat them, but I don't love the shootout. And I, you know, the Rams really played poorly for a half in that game. And then they came on strong in the second half and, you know, it kind of took everything the Saints had to hold them off. So I still, man, like, I want another shot at the Cowboys at home. I still, like, that would be my preference. And, you know, the Rams, I probably feel more comfortable playing the Cowboys, honestly. You know, I'd be more confident against them. But I still think in the Superdome, the Saints are the best team. I and this is an Alvin Kamara quote, but I think it rings true. And it's that this is about the Saints at this point. It's not about anybody else. I think if they take care of business and, you know, now part of it's the health of their offensive line, of course. But, you know, if that comes together and the Saints play the way they can play at home, then they're going to be in Atlanta in a few weeks.
This is from Othro. How many touchdowns does Boston Scott score on our top-rated running defense? Get the fuck out of here with that, man. Boston Scott almost – he took a kickoff back. He took it out deep in the end zone and got to, like, the 12-yard line. I forgot he existed until that very moment when they said his name on the broadcast today.
Yeah, that was bad.
Let me see. When let's see. Do we have any more? Kevin, is this the game Peyton has Hill actually pass to Breeze for a touchdown for the Philly special to give the Eagles a giant middle finger?
I would love that personally, but I would rather save it for the Super Bowl
against when the Patriots.
When the Saints are up by 25 points.
Yeah, or the – so let's see. That's about all the questions. Okay, so – we got the Saints. I got the line now. So I'll start with you, Kevin, in predictions. The Saints play 3:40 Sunday, the last playoff game of next weekend. They are a 9.5-point favorite against the defending Super Bowl champions. Who you got?
Shit. I got to be honest.
Really? 9.5? I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I would absolutely take the 9.5 points. I would say Saints. I'll say Saints 34 and Philly 27.
Ooh, that's close.
I'll say Ted Ginn. I'll say Ted Ginn actually gets at least 85 yards and a touchdown.
Ooh, he stole my MVP. Dave, who you got?
I think if the Saints play their game and they come out and they do them, you know, Saints do the Saints, I think the Eagles don't have a chance. I really don't. I think it could even potentially be almost as much of a blowout as their first matchup, even though, you know, that usually doesn't happen in the divisional round of the playoffs. But you know, I am a little nervous, just a little nervous, because you know, last few weeks it's been kind of hit or miss with as far as which Saints team is going to show up. I'm not including Week 17 in that, of course. But I obviously I'm going to say the Saints win, and 9's a bit too much. That, you know, I'd say they'll win by a touchdown. So I'm going to say Saints. 32 and Eagles, what is that, 25, and I'm going to say the player of the game is going to be, I think it'll be, I'm going to say it's going to be Mark Ingram. I'm going to say the Saints are going to come out pounding the shit out of it. They're really going to surprise everybody, actually. Everybody says, oh, they're in the dome. They'll be able to air it out. Drew Brees, blah, blah, blah. It's one touchdown. So, yeah.
Andrew, who you got?
It's the playoffs, and that means one thing and one thing only. Playoff Josh Hill, bitches. The True Saints that. Are going to hit a field goal.
Crazy pills!
The Saints are going to hit a field goal with 27 seconds left in the game. Oddly specific, you might say. And backdoor cover the spread and 34-24 win the game. Josh Hill, 2 touchdowns.
All right. I'm going to say this is hard because the line's 9.5. I feel like it might get pushed to like 10.5.
I think it'll come down.
You think it'll go down?
I think it'll be 7 by kickoff.
Yeah. And my column this week is shut up, stop being negative, believe that the Saints are going to be fine. So this pick is a little weird for that. I'm going to say it's going to be Saints 31-20, and they're going to cover, but it's going to be really, really dicey and uncomfortable for about a quarter and a half. Like Nick Foles, they're going to come out. They're going to have 5 wides. They're going to be throwing the ball all over the place. Philadelphia's going to be moving. They might even get up like 14-10 or 14-6. And the dome's going to get a little antsy. And it's going to get a little weird. It's not going to be a blowout from start to finish. It's going to have little moments of angst. But in the second half, the Saints will take control. Dennis Allen will figure it out. And it'll be okay. So I'm going to say Saints 31-20. MVP is going to be Alvin Kamara. He is going to have 175 total yards and 3 touchdowns, because why not? And the Saints will be in the NFC Championship game, and you know, we'll see what happens from there. Kevin,
ooh, I have a Twitter question.
What is that?
Well, it would be me tweeting it to you hypothetically. I mean, it didn't actually come through on Twitter, but this is a question that's a good hypothetical. So as you guys might be aware, the 3 Saints assistant coaches have interviewed for head coaching jobs this week. Pete Carmichael, the offensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, and Dan Campbell, the assistant head coach. So you have to pick, you can only keep one of the 3 for next year. Which one would you want to keep?
I would keep,
I'd keep Dennis Allen. I think Sean Payton
can
figure it out. Like, I think Sean Payton can figure it out on offense.
Well, Pete Carmichael is obviously the least important, I think. Just not that I don't value him, but I just think Sean Payton calls the play, so he could teach a new offensive coordinator. But Dan Campbell versus Dennis Allen is tough. From everything I hear, Dan Campbell is kind of a huge presence in terms of just motivation, and he's been big for the staff. So that's a tough one.
Dave, Kevin, any thoughts on that?
I would keep Dennis Allen.
Yeah, I just feel the same. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I was just saying, I agree.
I feel like in this day and age, like, he's the least likely to leave. Everyone wants, like, the offensive mind and genius right now.
I think Pete, I really hope Pete Carmichael gets a job. He did an awesome job in 2012 when Sean Payton wasn't here. He was on suspension. And I know you can say, hey, it's Sean Payton's offense. It should be. That 2012 offense, Andrew, that offense fucking rolled. And Pete Carmichael's calling the plays. He was doing the game planning. I mean, I think Pete Carmichael, to me, he proved that he is better than, say, Joe Lombardi, who got a shot in Detroit, got fired, and came back as the quarterback coach. Like, I think Carmichael, I think he might be a guy that may leave, not for a head coaching job. He may leave and be like, I got to run my own offense to be able to get a head coaching job. Like, that people are never going to hire me because they're always going to say, Sean Payton does everything. Like, he's going to be like, I got to go somewhere to the Jets or to wherever with a young quarterback and do the offense and make it my own to get a gig, you know? So I think if I had to rate the odds of people leaving, I think Dan Campbell's going to get a head coaching job, and I think Carmichael's going to get an OC chance somewhere else. So that wraps it up. Gentlemen, should I play the regular outro music, or should I just say the bar is closed and play the Matthew McConaughey nonsense again?
The latter.
Nonsense.
All right.
So, all right, until next week, the bar is closed.
New Orleans. Drink the Kool-Aid, man. Keep your fire lit. 94. It was spectacular. Number 7. It was electric. That line. If I do my job well today, we'll all remember where we were. Hovering just off the surface. Run over the goal line, through the end zone, and up the tunnel. Number 9. A lot of people looked up to this man. Life just cannot get any better than this moment. Live it. While we're here, and they're gonna run across the Jumbotron, let's make it a place where we break a sweat, where we believe, where we enjoy the process of succeeding in the places and ways that we are fashioned to, where we don't have to look over our shoulder because we're too busy doing what we're good at, traveling towards immortal finish lines. We write our own book, overcoming our fears. We make friends with ourselves. And that is the place that I'm talking about.